Hello there, everyone. My name is Aaron Burr. Welcome to the We All Can Change podcast. Here I help others heal the earth to live a more fulfilled and healthier life. I like to keep things pretty lighthearted, so that's why I do all this in a non-extreme and not too serious way. Seriously. Well, howdy do, everyone. It's Aaron. Aaron Burr here talking to you today, which is no different from the rest of the days. Although, I figured maybe you would forget who I was since I rarely do these podcasts anymore. I think I literally, not even figuratively, literally, not even metaphorically, literally said last episode and made a joke that I was, well, I initially was serious about saying, we're going to be back on these podcast episodes and be doing them more regularly. And then I threw in a joke that said, you know what, I'll probably just end up taking another big break and coming back with an episode in like a few months. I think that's exactly what happened. I think it's been a couple months or so, which I don't know. I had a feeling was what's going to happen because I had my LSAT coming up, finishing up that semester of school. And so, yeah, it was just a lot. And I kind of knew that was going to happen. But nonetheless, I felt when I recorded that episode, it was really nice to do it again. And clearly not enough to bring me back on more, you know, sooner than however long it's been. You'll have to check on episode, what is it, 58? What I said. But it's been either longer or exactly around that time that I said it would take for me to do another episode. Sorry. If you've been waiting, sorry, but who wants to wait and listen to my voice, you know? Come on, am I that great? I don't think so. I think I just talk into this microphone for therapeutic benefits. I don't really know if it's for anyone else these days. Just kidding. Sort of kidding. Well, welcome. Episode 59. Let's see. I'm saying a lot again because I'm not podcasting anymore that much. My podcast voice, my public speaking voice, doesn't use the uhs and the ums and the ands too much, but that's kind of taking a slippery slope. So you might be hearing a few more ums from me. Anyways, that one was intentional, but hey, I finished my LSAT. Holy shit, was that thing crazy. It's nothing I've ever done before. Nothing like it I've ever done before in my whole life. I mean, I'm so used to memorizing things and just kind of taking in information and absorbing information and knowledge and applying it and you know, taking it and using it with four different situations and whatnot. That's what I'm used to. And this test is nothing like that. First of all, there's nothing about the law in it. It's about logical reasoning, critical thinking, reading comprehension. It's all skills. It's a skills-based test. There's nothing to memorize. People are like, well, you probably know a lot about the law now, huh? And I'm like, I know nothing. This test has nothing about the law. They might coincidentally have an argument or a situation or a reading, you know, a reading passage that is about the law, but it's, you have to memorize nothing about really anything. It's all skills based. It's all training your brain. So it was very hard on my brain. I mean, in a good way. It wasn't like it was bad for my brain, but it wasn't like you could grind for 12 hours on something else, you know, school, work, whatever, and then get home when your brain's fried and attempt to absorb anything good or practice anything good. You know, it's very brain heavy. I ate a lot of healthy fats and MCT oils and I was hungry, not only because I was gaining weight purposely to just put on some muscle, but I was just hungry. My brain was eating. So it was crazy. It was really cool, really fun experience. I didn't get the score that I, you know, really wanted to get. I definitely could have done higher, and I've done higher on practice tests before, but just for the sake of time and stress, and I want to prioritize getting good grades on this last semester that I submit to these law schools, I just decided to focus on that and take the score that I have. So not the best, not the worst, pretty good. I think it's good enough for the schools I'm looking at. So here we are. I'm a free man, always been free, but you know, it's all by choice that I took that 6 months to just live, eat, breathe, sleep, the LSAT, basically. Yeah, what's new in my life? I mean, what's new in the world? I've got a lot to talk about, I'm sure, but I don't know. I think what's been getting to me recently has been the fact that I'm in this absorption stage of my life. I'm in this taking in instead of putting out stage. I mean, as you can tell by the podcast and the blog, it's been a lot of learning, a lot of applying knowledge, and not a lot of teaching, if you will, or creating. No blog posts, no podcast episodes, really. Yeah, which has been strange. I mean, really, that started last summer. I mean, it's been a year that kind of kicked off. Kind of crazy to think about, but that kind of started, you know, with the social justice stuff that went down over the summer, all of that movement that kind of, you know, gained a lot of traction. The pandemic, it was just a time for me to you know, step back and learn, and it wasn't my place to talk, but that evolved into I mean, full-blown school. I'm back in school now, so we're really taking in now, really learning instead of creating. And so it's been getting to me, you know. There's plenty of atrocities all around the world and right in my backyard that I feel like I should be doing more to help or whatnot, you know. And there's also this tendency kind of to say, well, you know, I am doing a lot. I'm working towards this law degree. I'm working towards being a lawyer to actually have a really big impact. But that's a slippery slope to me, like, you know, just giving these excuses like, oh, not today, you know, tomorrow I'll do it. In 3 years, I'll do it when I'm done with my law degree. 4 years, really. So, yeah, Tampa Bay has been experiencing a bunch of red tide, which is basically nutrients, usually like fertilizers and stuff like that, or wastewater, things with a lot of nutrients and items, you know, little foods or fertilizers or yeah, nutrients is the best word for it, entering the water, bacteria, plankton, or whatever, eats this, you know, these nutrients, and they skyrocket in population, but then they die off really quickly. And when they die off, it turns, you know, from an initially high oxygen environment to a no oxygen environment. So it, you know, acidifies and a bunch of CO2 and when you're by the water and there's red tide spots, you can hardly breathe. People's eyes are burning. There's dead fish everywhere because they get trapped in these little pockets of red tide, of these oxygen starved areas of water, and they just die. They just float up to the surface and die. And so there's dead dolphins and just thousands and thousands of fish. The city like issued a volunteer help emergency, like, we don't have enough people to clean up all these dead fish. And meanwhile, like, another wastewater treatment facility just dumped like another, I don't know, it was like 66 to over 100 gallons of wastewater into the bay this week during this red tide problem, just furthering the problem. So there was a big, huge wastewater treatment storage facility before this that that opened up into the bay called Piney Point. And that's, you know, they were kind of assuming that that was going to lead to a bad red tide season for Tampa Bay, and it certainly has already. But this has been going on for a while. I mean, we've been dumping. I mean, the Tampa Bay used to be like basically declared dead, and it's come a long way. But I don't know. It seems like these cities and towns, like St. Petersburg or Tampa, St. Petersburg especially, because it's definitely has this. You know, I think they're in the top 100, or not the top 100, but the 100 cities program where they declared, even though when Trump left the Paris Climate Agreement, that they were going to stick with it. They were going to be a sustainable city. And meanwhile, they do all this shit that, and the Piney Point thing, I think, was actually Tampa, but they've done plenty of stuff too. I mean, almost every year that there's a major flood or, yeah, heavy rain event, these sewer treatments get overloaded, and they just dump shit and wastewater into the bay, and that happens almost every year. And there's still cases that are pending by these environmental organizations and law firms that are suing the city, and they're, instead of saying, hey, yeah, we screwed up, we're part of this 100 city sustainability pact, so we're gonna, you know, take this case and maybe settle it, or say, hey, we're gonna clean this up, or hey, here's what we're doing to prevent this. You know, instead of doing that, they're like, they dug in their heels and said, you know, they really defended it and really just like lawyered up, you know. so there's just so much. There's just so much going on paper, like across the country, across the world, and so many people falling for it. You know, I think that there's a lot of people that say they read that article about St. Peter. There's a documentary about, you know, the St. Petersburg, wastewater problem, and they're just surprised. They're like, oh, the sustainable city. Are you kidding me? Come on. No way. And it's just all over the place. New York, you know, San Francisco, LA, all these places that are, you know, it bothers me more when people or cities or organizations or governments, you know, claim this sustainability, eco-friendly card, or they claim this mask, basically. And then in reality, it's just like all this greenwashing, you know, it's all on paper. I mean, there's this whole block across from the coffee shop, that I study at a lot and work at a lot. It's been sitting there fenced off, just nice, green, lush, natural grass growing on it. And it's been like that for, it feels like 2 years. It feels like I've been coming back and forth between St. Petersburg and other places for past two or so years at least. And it's been like that, just sitting there. Just like, it looks like I thought that they built a park and they're going to open it. And then the fence has just been there. Like, it's fenced off. You can't go in. And I finally asked someone local in the coffee shop, and they said that it's this big... big development company or oil company or whatever, Apple Orchard. I don't know. I don't really know what. I remember something about apples. If that's either the name of the company, not Apple Computers, but something about apples or Orchard or something like that. But anyways, this classic like big ass company that just bought this land and they're gonna put another high rise in it, you know. And I'm sitting there like, we should just go plant some fruit trees, tear down the fences and turn it into a food forest for everyone to eat for free, right? It's in the center of St. Petersburg. And I mean, St. Pete has this great waterfront park, you know, it's pretty cool, but it's just a bunch of grass. I mean, people don't really do much there. I mean, they hammock and sit. It's a really nice park called the Vinoy Park. But I don't know if you're serious about sustainability, I'd say fuck the high rise and put in a food forest, you know? I mean, you obviously have to balance economy. I mean, it's tough to make the argument for a food forest compared to a multi-million dollar revenue high rise. But hey, that's the mask that you put on, St. Petersburg, when you join this 100 sustainable city thing. These are the decisions that you have to consider, at least. I mean, maybe it's not on the city anymore, but maybe it's on this company. But I don't know. I think if we're going to get anywhere, we have to start making those decisions of hey, we can make a lot of money by feeding people for free through this food forest instead of putting them on government subsistence, you know, programs or what have you. Could save even more money, you know, than it would make in the housing, you know, contract that or whatever. But anyways, it's just a good example. I mean, it's just all over the place, and it's been really kind of irritating me. Normally I'm pretty good at you know, I guess not dealing with those things, but I'm good at recognizing them, taking them in, and saying, you know what, we're gonna do better, but maybe it's because I haven't been creating, you know, I haven't been helping as much as I want to, haven't been doing the things that I normally do, like run this podcast or write about these issues and turn it into a teaching experience, or a learning experience. But yeah, you know, the Biden administration, I mean, it's just weird to see. I sip on this kombucha for a second, hang on. GT's Synergy Multi-Green, baby. Yes. Get your greens and your probiotics. Greens and your bacterias. Doesn't sound awesome? So good. One of my favorite flavors. It's just so mellow, you know? And it's like savory. Oh, man. It sounds gross, but it's actually really good. Anyways, yeah, I mean, it's just weird to see, you know, this whole liberal progressive community of voters or whatever, I mean, whatever to call the left or the right. It's just so strange to see that this progressive liberal movement has recently, not historically, but recently been this, you know, climate change, science, environment, priority side. And yet, you know, once a liberal becomes president, like the criticism just disappears. You know, I don't really hear the criticism that I hear for the Biden administration and what, you know, the pretty bad job that they're doing as far as the environment goes. There's plenty of good things that have already come out of it, but they could do a lot better. All the criticism or the feedback that I'm hearing is coming from people that are not really subscribing to any of that. You know, I don't really hear liberals or progressives shit talking their president, you know, our president or their administration, which is kind of scary. You know, it's kind of scares me to see, you know, this kind of priority take place over the environment. And that priority is win that, you know, next presidency or beat the right side, beat the conservatives, beat the red or the blue, you know. It's tough to see that take priority over the environment, something that we should all be agreeing on, you know, because, I mean, pretty much all conservatives that you talk to probably care about the environment. It's just that we live on social media and And the ones that stick out right or left are the people who are on the extremes, right? I'm taking this women's studies class in college right now. I have to finish up my bachelor's degree to get into law school, which is a whole nother, God, complaint on itself. But I'm taking women and gender and sex. I don't really know what the full class name is. Maybe it's just women's studies. But anyways, it's about all those things. It's not just about women. It's about, you know, all the different aspects of gender and sex and roles and all this stuff. And it's actually a really cool class. I was pretty, I guess, not worried, but, you know, I was kind of expecting there to be a lot more similarities that you see on social media of, you know, all the problems are on you and not me. All the problems are on them and not us. All the problems are because of, you know, other people and not me. I'm not the change that the world needs in the world. You are. You need to change. I was kind of expecting that. And I do get hints of that in the textbook that we're reading. You know, there's hints of just kind of just statements that don't have any, no merit, I guess. I don't know. Maybe merit, but like they don't explain certain things. They just kind of say, hey, this is how it is, and this is what you need to accept. And I hate that. So there's something like that, but the professor does, and I don't know if this is just, you know, just the professor that makes the class good. Maybe other classes on this subject are not as great, but the professor does something where he's always bringing it back to, and remember, this is a systems, you know, topic. This is a systems issue when we talk about racism or sexism or transphobia or whatnot. It's a systems, you know, problem. And there may be this bias within us, within all of us, on these different issues, but it's not meaningful, and it's not the point of this class to say anyone is the problem, you know, any one person, you know. It's not to guilt trip anyone. And so I really do like that aspect. I think that I and a lot of people, me maybe less, I mean, I recognize that social media is one of the worst places for getting a full, like, complex and controversial issue like this across, like women's rights or racism or whatnot. I kind of understand it, like an Instagram picture of eight words, you know, is always going to be surface level, and because of that, there's always going to be this like, oh, you can't just say that, you know. And I have those knee-jerk reactions, but so I kind of took that experience of social media, and I thought that's what the class was going to be like. But it's actually, you know, now that we can sit and really like dive into these issues, there's a whole textbook, there's this professor that's really educated on, he's like five different degrees, so he's really well-rounded to explain these things. It's actually, you know, I'm seeing it a lot more. And I think I kind of wish that people would have this opportunity to do that, because all these, you know, social justice, social media warriors, are, I don't know, kind of like running on a hamster wheel, because you can't just like put out a tweet that says, you know, like these 20 character statements that that are like really, like really emotionally charged or just really like kind of maybe out there, I guess is the term, even though it's really not that out there once you actually look into it. But no one's looking into it. They're reading a tweet, or they're reading an Instagram post or a Facebook post, or this video that's been taken out of context, or this picture that's been taken out of context, and it's just like this mess. It's just this stressful trolling, you know, on both sides, quote unquote, mess. So I don't know. It feels really nice to be in this class. I don't really know how I ended up there, but yeah, it just feels like there's a lot of issues that we need to be able to dive in on and give people the patience, you know, and the respect to allow them to dive in on it. And you know, people like this professor who are extremely highly educated individuals could like very easily start with these, you know, start the whole class with this complex or controversial statement saying, you know, this group is always racist, or this group is always this, or this group is this, or, you know, not even like that, not even like this blanketed statement, but something that's actually logically, you know, valid, but it sounds so complex and it sounds so out there that it just shuts people down. He could do that, even though everything's backed up to say it, but it doesn't get anything done, doesn't get us anywhere. So he starts with, hey, this is what we're going to be learning, and this is what we need to always go back to, is the systems issue and the system, you know, that we're living in that has taken advantage of people and that still has a lot taking advantage of a lot of people. So, it's interesting. I'd recommend a class like that. I mean, pretty sure you can still sit in on public college classes for free. If you want to. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's just a weird thing to be back in school. And I keep talking to people, you know, obviously it comes up and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm back in school. I'm kind of taking a step back from my freelance work and from my creative work. I mean, I'm still creating and stuff, but definitely taking a huge step back to focus on school. And it just feels, every time I say, you know, I'm going to go into law, and they say, what for? I say, my passion's in the environment. You know, most people, in a beautiful way, they always say, yeah, that's great. I mean, the environment needs exactly people like you. The environment needs lawyers, and it needs, you know, smart, powerful people. And I love the compliments, and I'm honored that people see me as a possible, you know, agent of change, or just a good fit for being a lawyer, or you know, seeking that role. But it's still, it always goes, I'll say this a lot too in response to that. I'll usually say something like, yeah, it's interesting because I personally, out of, you know, if the sole purpose was happiness, maybe, or if the sole purpose was happiness without contribution, because we always need a contribution, I think, and happiness, but I think that for us to be happy, you know, it has to come from this intrinsic value, you know, it has to come from, and more importantly, change has to come from this inward thinking, this inward change, instead of this outward change. And so it's a very strange profession for me to be pursuing this outward, you know, change the law, or I'm going to bring you down with the law. I'm going to sue you, BP. I'm going to sue you, Chevron. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to bring you down. You know, that's traditionally like the lawyer path, right? This fight, this see you in court mentality. And so it's a strange path that I'm on, but it's not that strange. It's not that strange because I think that we should all be doing things, as far as change goes, we should be doing things that are on our individual level. You know, we should be changing ourselves in order to change the world. I truly believe that the only way to change the world for good, you know, and for the better, and truly change it, is for us all to look within ourselves and at ourselves. And think about that. I mean, that's everyone. And that includes, you know, whether it's a person on the street whose impact is pretty minimal. I mean, you know, they don't have a home that sucks up AC. They don't have a car. You know, to the billionaire that runs all these corporations that pollute a shitload. And by that person changing their decision or their, yeah, their decision, their actions, imagine, you know, imagine it. I mean, I'm obviously there's businesses and corporations and people that have more impact on the planet, but all we can truly control is ourselves. And so if we want to be happy and if we want to, I mean, the only logical path to real change is if we all say it's us, it's me, you know, that's the problem. And that applies to this women and gender and sex class that I'm taking. There's no way to arrive at real change if we're all saying it's everyone else, or if we're all saying it's this person or it's this corporation. You know, we can release this data that says 100 companies are responsible for 90% of the pollution. And I mean, they could all reduce their impact, but if we're still eating KFC and McDonald's and still eating this processed, you know, bullshit or this monocultured stuff or this, you know, we're driving our H2 Hummer, you know, around, it's still on us, you know? And of course there's these monopolies that exist, you know, it's like you can't expect some, you know, single mom who's working three jobs to sell her car and buy a bike or go into more debt and get an electric car that's really not even that better for the environment because they use all this mining to get this, get these ingredients for the batteries. You know, it's not a solution. You know, it's not a solution either to say, you know, it's on these individuals solely. It's all a mix, you know, it's all together. But we can't do one, you know, without the other. It has to be everyone. We all have to be willing to change. Sometimes that takes giving governments or making governments and corporations give the options for us to change, because sometimes we don't have the options. I'm lucky enough to have the option to be, you know, on the move and be able to travel very lightly and choose where I get to live without a car. You know, I get to pick, you know, where I want to live and be able to say, hey, I need to live here and I'm going to live here because I don't have a car. I have that option. Could I do that in San Francisco? No. I can barely do it in St. Petersburg. And it's St. Petersburg has been pretty damn cheap for a while. It's just all of a sudden getting really expensive. Goddamn Californians are coming over. No, not really. I mean, they are, but like, I don't care. I've never, there's always that mentality was in Missoula. There's all these like signs about like Californians and just this animosity, because it is a lot closer out there. And Montana just had so much of that happen. I don't mind. We're in a globalized society. People are going to move when they're going to move. It's whatever. And if you want to move, you can move. And if people are here and you don't like them, then you should move, I don't know, somewhere else. if you can. Anyways, I mean, yeah. The pressure's on everyone. Businesses, top 100 corporations, top 100 polluters, I mean, individuals, you know, whether that be CEOs or policymakers, lawyers, or a barista, you know. It's on all of us. And we're not going to get where we want to be without accepting that. And I mean, just sustainability, climate change, environment aside, it's just the path to a happier, more fulfilled life is focusing on this inward change, this inward issue of, you know, happiness or fulfillment or satisfaction or contribution. So I have this ping pong thing going on in my life of this law and you know, pick up my samurai sword and get to work kind of mentality. But that's not really where my heart's at. I've discovered this, so I was looking at Vermont law school, just in this tiny ass town in Vermont, which is what scares me the most about going there, is just this tiny town. I mean, it's just for many reasons, but they have this program called restorative justice. I think I'm saying that right, but it's just this idea of not, you know, so a good example is like these corporations that are just like doing so many bad things to the environment, to people, specifically like the fossil fuel industry. What this would do, this program, instead of, you know, just creating this war mentality, which is what these fossil fuel industries are built for. They're built to go to war. They're built to lawyer up and you know, bury firms and paperwork, or, you know, hire 1,000 lawyers to fight this case. Instead of doing that, you know, they basically, you can have a legal background, or you can just have this certification in this restorative justice. You go in and say, look, we can drag this out and make this, you know, war scene mentality come to light, or we could get in a room with the victims, with the you know, people that caused harm to those victims, whether this is, you know, this oil company situation or whatever situation, and you just have it out, you know, in this room, not like a fight to the death, have it out, but like, you know, the victims and the community that gets impacted gets to express their pain, you know, and they get to begin this healing process instead of this eye for an eye, you know, because I think that a lot of people seek justice and put people away in a prison for them to get, you know, raped or killed or whatever, or to get out in, you know, a year or so, not any better off. They seek this justice and get it and probably realize, oh, it doesn't really do much for me. I have to get through this healing process anyways. So maybe there's people out there that realize, hey, you know, let's just start this healing process now and maybe even get these companies or get this person to change, get this person help for sure. You know, if they're just they're in this mental state that's not good, get them real help instead of sending them to a jail. Get this corporation, you know, real reason to act. They now have this community in this room with them, and it's just a powerful thing, it seems like. I don't know. I don't know how impactful it is, you know. It's kind of reminds me of like international law, where it's like this consensual, you know, we're getting into a room together kind of thing. But there's really, I mean, I don't really know if there is legally binding things going on with the restorative justice or not, but it seems like there's a possibility for it to just like not work, You know, I mean, there's a thing, there's a point where these corporations are in a system where they just can't, I mean, legally, not legally, but they just can't, without losing their company, make these decisions that are good for the environment and not great for the company. I mean, these CEOs can just be voted out, snap of a finger, if they just decide, hey, we're going to pull all these pipelines, or we're going to pull all these drilling projects, or hey, we're going to clean up this project even though we don't have to, it's going to cost us billions, whatnot. So, you know, maybe they're limited to the system that we're in. Maybe we need to change the system. That's a whole other story. But yeah, so I'm really drawn to this restorative justice aspect. And so I've been looking for schools, for law schools that are kind of dealing with that. I mean, that sounds really, really kind of up my alley. It sounds more healing on a spiritual level and on a community level. And it's what a lot of tribal courts do in America for Native Americans. It's how they solve a lot of issues, it seems like. Now, those systems are too, like, very limited. They don't have a lot of infrastructure for mental health and for drug abuse, and they could use a lot more help. That I hope, you know, having a is it Department of the Interior? Head of the Interior? Some Native American in office. I can't remember the position. But, you know, having people like her in a high-level administration, I hope that more funding goes to those projects. Maybe that's naive to think that one person in an administration that deals with all sorts of stuff, which may not even be her area of focus, has an impact on that, but that'd be nice, you know. That'd be nice. So it would take a lot to have, you know, this system in place for this restorative justice program, but I think it's possible. You know, I think the government as a whole needs to focus on mental health as a solution, you know, to these violent crimes, these nonviolent crimes, these pollution crimes even. I think it needs to focus on things like that, mental health and other, you know, avenues other than just sending people to jail. You know, they get out in 6 months because they're rich, or they, you know, get out 10 years later and they're worse off because that's their life now. They've been treated like animals. So I'd like to see, yeah, I guess systems change, know, for it to be successful with this restorative justice stuff. But I don't know, people are doing it now in this country. They're doing it all around the world. So we'll see. We'll see where I end up. I don't see myself as the person that corporations hate. I see myself as a lawyer who, you know, maybe like an employee or like a colleague of an oil company looks at the CEO and goes, dude, why are you talking like to that environmental lawyer? And the CEO just goes, I don't really know, man. I mean, he's kind of on the other side. Like, he's kind of our enemy, but he's really just a nice guy. Like, we just went golfing, you know? Like, I think we should listen to him. You know, I think we should try and change. I mean, he's got a lot of good points. Really nice. And man, he bought me a drink last night. We just talked about life, you know. And you know what? I'm going to quit. I'm quitting today. I'm going to go join his law firm. You know? I don't know. I see myself as hopefully not losing myself by then, but you know, staying on this try to kill people with kindness kind of thing. And maybe that's impossible to get anything done with environmental justice or any kind of justice, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. You know, maybe I'll try it and just give up in a few years and just, you know, go live in a cave. But who knows? You know, I'm gonna stick it out and finish this damn this damn bachelor's degree. Then on to law school. No, it's not a damn bachelor's degree. I'm actually really excited for it. It's actually really nice. It feels a lot better to have a purpose, have a reason to be in school. And it also feels better to be older. You know, I'm way more emotionally developed and way more well-rounded as an individual now coming back to school than I was. And that feels really good. It feels really good to have this perspective and have this critical kind of perspective on the things I'm reading, you know, like this women's studies textbook. There's things in there where it's like, well, you know, how much do I believe in power? And, you know, how much do I believe in, you know, people being completely out of control of their own lives? You know, that's a whole nother issue. I mean, it's really tough though. It's a tough thing to say, because I know that I come from a lot of privilege in my life. But, you know, and so maybe it's for people with less privilege to say, you know, those things, like to empower people and say, hey, you're the master of your own world and your own life. I don't know. We have full control over where we want to be and what we want to do in our lives. Might be insensitive for me to say, easy for me to say, you know? But that's what I believe in my heart, not out of trying to water down the issues that our country and this world faces. You know, I'm not trying to say these issues of racism and sexism and all these other isms and phobias, don't exist, but and they strongly exist. And I think they need to be changed. You know, we need to get through this healing process that allows those that are harming people, which means they are harmed themselves, help them change, you know, and help them heal from the harm that they've experienced and are therefore harming others now. So I think that's obviously existing, but I also think that to sell people short and say, you know, you're not going to go anywhere because this is a white system or this is a male system, really doesn't put any faith in that individual at all. I think it's harder for some people to get to some places, and that just makes their accomplishments even more meaningful to them and to the world and to me especially. You know, and we're all creatures of our own challenges and realities. You know, I've gone through tons and tons of challenges and hurt and events in my life that other people may have not, but they've gone through things that are also bad. And maybe even worse to some people's opinions. But all we are is, you know, open to our own realities, and we can't, you know, I can sympathize and feel the hurt and not carry the hurt from people, but I can't pretend like I know how it feels to experience these forms of discrimination, just like others can't pretend to feel the harm that I've felt as well. And we're all, you know, we develop this callous, this reality and this experience based on our own events, you know, and that becomes the worst thing. You know, our worst things are, you know, the worst to us. And then there's other people out there that have had our worst thing happen, and they've had even worse. And they're like, oh my God, that's all you've got in your life? That's all that's happened to you? You know, you're privileged. But in reality, all we know is that worst thing, you know, and it's so bad to us. And then it therefore leads to this feeling of not being heard, you know, this feeling of not being, not anyone, you know, not having anyone listen to you and listen to your pain, you know, whether it's your grandma dying or your dog dying or you losing a limb or something like that. You know, by having anyone that's either been through worse or quote unquote worse or not been through worse and discredit your pain, our pain, because of who we are, that doesn't solve anything either. And so that's, you know, the things that don't get addressed in this book, and maybe they'll get addressed in this class and in the book later, but there's things that the book of this women's studies class says that it's just very limiting, you know, and it doesn't dive into certain things that it should. And I think the professor does dive into those things, though. He ends up saying things like, you know, this isn't saying that people aren't capable of anything or aren't capable of rising up in this world. It's just that it's harder for some. So I don't know. I'm talking about this class a lot. Maybe it's because it's been on my mind a lot. I'm taking Intro to Jazz as well. Survey of Jazz. Oh my God. Also a great class. I love jazz. I never did. I never did love jazz, but I do now. I have for a while, recently, like in the past year, listened to jazz, but I'm writing this essay right now on, it's our Global Citizens Project for my ISS major, for my Interdisciplinary Social Sciences major, and I'm writing on Japanese jazz. I'm writing on the Tokyo scene. The jazz scene in Tokyo. That's sweet. Yeah. Some good ass music. check out Try Fourth. Try Fourth. This song called Guns of Saxophone. Badass. So good. Yeah, it's really good music and it's really fun. And then I'm taking an international law class. Lots and lots of reading, and it's interesting. It's just great because it's all real, just like happening. You know, it's just real and it's material. Jazz is, women's studies, international law. It's all these things that are in the real world. It's not statistics. You know, it's not this abstract thing. It's just like international law. This is the law. This is what's happened. This is what's happening. This is why this is happening. It's really cool. I like all these classes. I love them all. So it's been a good semester. This is just a summer semester, so it's like a 6-week course. I think I've got a few weeks left, maybe close to halfway. No, got maybe 4 weeks left. But anyways, I'm glad to be chatting on here on this episode 59, I hope, unless my guess is completely wrong. I don't know. I'd like to keep doing this. I did the week every week episode because people slip out of things really easily, and you gotta stay consistent or else you'll just lose it. And that's exactly what happened when I got out of that week thing. God. But no, I mean, I'd like to kind of get organized, you know, think about the issues that I've been thinking about and talk about them and have meaningful conversations. I've been meeting a lot of really good people who I think would be great guests on this podcast. So I'm thinking of bringing them on, talking some bits about stuffs, you know. So if you want to hear some bits and stuffs, man, stay tuned. Or woman, stay tuned. Or unidentified human being, stay tuned. Or whatever you identify, stay tuned. Yeah, that's all I got. All right. I'm going to kick this. I'm going to not kick this off. I'm going to send you on your way with some smooth jazz. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I don't really know how to do that. So maybe I will actually, if I figure this out between now and when I upload this. Anyways, I'm signing off. I'll talk to y'all soon. Spread the love, you know, no matter how bad it is out there, no matter how hard someone's trolling you, no matter how wrong someone is or how, geez, polar opposite political or other beliefs, how dare they? No matter how opposite or how different, I don't know. I think we got to love each other. We can have conversations and maybe even a little bit of arguments, but we got to love each other, y'all. There's no other way to create a better world, in my opinion. I love y'all. Take care. See ya.